honestly, just in the time that I've been, I would say, doing worship, as far as a singer, as a worship leader, and it just kind of being a part of my life, I've realized, and in the research that I've been doing, the books that I've read, I don't think worship can be defined like as one thing. You know what I mean? Like some people, if they think of worship, they may think worship is like a slow song and you're singing and you're bowed before the Lord and you're prostrate and you're in worship. And then some people may say worship is like praise. And a lot of times people think it's just music related. You know what I mean? Like when you think of music, it's just either worship or praise, right? And just in the research and stuff that I've done, I don't think worship can really be defined as one thing. I believe worship is everything that you do that is pleasing to the Father. So when I think of it in that way, it reminds me of a scripture that I personally stand on, which is Romans 12, 1 and 2. So if we can put Romans 12, 1 and 2 on the screen, the Message translation. Because the Message translation, it'd be so fire. I'd be like, dang, now you broke that down real good. It just makes everything plain. Okay, so it reads, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you take your everyday life, your ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God has done for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognize what he wants from you, and quickly respond to it, unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Sheesh! I was like, if that ain't the clearest that you can get on just your life, you know what I'm saying? Like your everyday life. To me, I feel like that's what worship is. You placing your everyday life before the Father. You're going to work. You're being a parent. Your mom life. Your dad life. Your sister life. You know, you're working. You're going to your job. Like you placing all of that before the Lord as your reasonable service, as your reasonable sacrifice. And if I think of it in regards to like our health, our body, how we live, what we put into our mouths. What, you know what I mean? Like how we steward the gift that God has given us in our bodies. To me, that's worship. How I talk to my daughter and the way that I build her up and train her, you know, to be a part, a functioning citizen in this world, that's worship. How I deal with my spouse on a day-to-day basis and, you know, saying, you know, making sure that I'm honoring in my words, and even then when there's discord, you know, that I'm careful about what I say, how I say it, what I say, that's worship to me. Okay, that's, you know, how I think it's defined. But then again, that's my definition. I don't really think it can be defined. I think it's relative, you know what I mean, to every single person. Does that make sense, guys? So when I got asked to do this, and I was asking the Lord, I'm like, all right, Lord, how do you want me to really like teach this and get it across to where it's practical, you know, where it's able to be taken in? The Lord told me, use your life experience. Okay? So I'm going to give you just a little bit of what I encountered that made worship real for me. Okay? So 2018 is the year that I would say that my life, I would say, flipped upside down. This was the year I had what I can say out loud publicly now, nervous breakdown. Okay, I haven't been able to say that because it was hard to, attach yourself to things, you know, that you didn't really want to, like, really think of. But with all of the things that I encountered in that time, that's pretty much what it was a nervous breakdown where basically my mind checked out from life, okay? Dealing with things from severe panic attacks to insomnia, and then from the insomnia, was feeling, because I wasn't sleeping, I was kind of having like hallucinations because I would go days without sleeping and lots of days without eating. And it rocked my world. And before this time, I've been leading worship for, probably since 2010, I believe. So it was probably about 8 or 9 years up to that point. So when this encounter kind of happened to me at that time, I was very confused because I'm like, okay, Lord, my entire world has been submitted to you. I've traveled, the world as a worship leader and leading people to you, leading people to in your presence. And I'm like, how dare this encounter me? That was like my mindset, I'm just like, yeah, this doesn't make sense because, now I'm like, I've been leading worship. I know how to get in your presence. I know, so I was confused in the fact of like, how come I didn't see this coming? And it blew my mind. And so when I say checked out, I mean checked out from being a mother, being a wife, being a worship leader, business owner, all of the things. I wasn't speaking. I wasn't sleeping. I wasn't eating. I couldn't pray out loud. I couldn't sing out loud. So in this time, right, I kind of explain it as inside of my mind, inside of my heart, which I know now in hindsight as I, have come through that, I kind of know now that I was inside of my mind, inside of my heart, and the Lord escorted me to the secret place. So although there was chaos outside of me, of my physical world, and what I deemed as, detaching and separating from the world. Although that was happening, I was also very inside of my mind and in my heart, in the secret place with the Father. Now, I wasn't certain that that was the secret place until the Father was dialoguing with me internally during that time. And so it's odd to talk about, I guess, to articulate, because I know there were times I would ask my husband, I would tell him, I'm like, I didn't sleep last night, and he would be like, yes, you did. And I'm like, nah, I was up. I wasn't asleep. I was up. And he was like, no, you were sleeping. Like, he had to get to the point where he recorded me. So he would record me so I could hear myself snoring, Or because he was having to prove to me that I was asleep. Because I'm like, nah, I'm up. Because in this time that I was inside, it's hard to articulate, but I was inside of myself. And what the Lord was revealing to me is that I was in the secret place. So, in Psalms 91, if you could put that up, in Psalms 91, I know it's like 1 through 16, but I really want to talk like about the place where he talks about he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Most High God, right? So while I'm in the secret place, the Lord was revealing to me that he had to reassure me several times because I'm like, Lord, internal, we're having dialogue. He's speaking to me. He's telling, you know, certain things. He's searching my heart. Like, I remember feeling like, you ever think of when you're at home and you're looking for something, like you misplaced your keys, you know what I'm saying? You're like, dang, where's my keys? You know, you're looking up under stuff and you're checking stuff and you're like, man, where's my keys? That's literally how I felt on the inside. I felt as if he was kind of walking around in my heart, basically like searching out things to highlight to me, to show me how I got here. Because I was very confused, you know what I mean? So I'm like talking to him like, Lord, I don't know how we got here, you know? So he's searching my heart, you know, showing things to me, showing me I had daddy issues, showing me that a lot of things that happened to me as a child traumatically, you know, things that I just never touched, never dealt with, just kind of stuffed it down and just kept it moving, right? So at some point, I tell people all the time, because I also became a mental health coach off of this encounter, but I tell people all the time that there are things that we have dealt with in our lives or have been through in our lives that we haven't touched or dealt with, and we've just kind of stuffed it down, but it's still very present in our subconscious. And so we're triggered oftentimes by certain things, and we don't really know that we're triggered by things until we're triggered, unfortunately, right? And you're like, yo, what's going on? You know what happened? What's going on? Saying all that to say, this is what he was doing on the inside of me, trying to help me understand how I got to this place, okay? And so this is where he also revealed to me where worship is a weapon of warfare. This is where he revealed to me how worship is a weapon of warfare, okay? Because again, I couldn't speak, I couldn't pray, I couldn't sing, and it was all like internal, right? And so have you ever heard the song called Reckless Love? Have you heard the song called Reckless Love? And you could start playing it. So he would, you know how the verse goes, before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. So he would sing this particular song over me. But this is when this song became real to me. You know, even when I used to hear this song, you know, they would say, before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. And I'm like, yo, Lord, what's that? You know what I mean? You just sing over, you know? But it's the Holy Spirit that stepped in that position for me as worship to sing over me, you know, because I couldn't open up my mouth and say these things. And he was, oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. And oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99, and I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away, and all the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love. He would sing that over and over and over. It was kind of like the soundtrack of the inside whenever I was in the secret place dialoguing with him day after day after day. This was like my, it was weird. It was the soundtrack for while I was there. But it made me feel at peace. It made me feel safe that even though everything around, you know, when I talked to my husband afterwards, my children and my family, you know, everybody was just like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's up. I don't, you know, she's not eating. She's not, you know, I was just like a shell. But inside, I was very present. very, very much present. Very much working through my stuff inside. I didn't have a therapist at the time. I didn't have none of that. The Holy Spirit was counselor at the time. This is what the Lord taught me what worship is. It's not just me up here singing. Like I thought it was just me up here singing and leading people to the Father. But he's like, no, worship is a lifestyle. Worship is how you take care of your mental health. Worship is how you take care of your physical body, because I've given this body to you as a gift. You're supposed to steward it while you're here. The things that you put in your body, the choices that you make, the relationships that you're in, the job that you choose, with the things that stress you out, all of that is worship. How you do life here is supposed to honor the Father, and we're supposed to guard ourselves accordingly, you know what I mean, from the things that stress us out, make us sick, make us, you know. We're supposed to be mindful of what's happening in our world as opposed to just keeping it moving. You know what I'm saying? Well, that, you know, I feel horrible this week, but I'm going to just keep it moving because I got to get to work. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to like, let me go find out why I feel bad this week. You know what I mean? Let me find out why I keep having these headaches, you know what I'm saying, every day. I probably should go check it out. Let me, you know, find out every time I eat this certain food, it makes me feel a certain way, but I just keep doing it anyway because I really like the food, but it really bothers me, but I keep eating it anyway. You know, a part of that is dishonoring to the, you know what I'm saying, because you're getting these checks in your spirit. And I remember I would ask the Lord, I'm like, Lord, I mean, I still don't, you know, understand. And he would highlight to me all the times where he put checks in my spirit. He showed me all of the moments. So there was nothing that I, you know, I couldn't be like, you know, well, dang, you know what I'm saying? We want to, like, blame the enemy. Like, I can't believe he attacked me while I was down. You know what I'm saying? I can't believe he even showed up. But, you know, the Lord was like, actually, I was warning you of lots of times, and you ignored them, and you wonder how you arrived here. Because it's our responsibility to be stewards over our lives, over our bodies, over our mental health, over our families, over our relationships with our children, over the relationships with our spouses, over the relationships, you know, with our jobs, everything, every single thing that we do was taking our everyday life, our ordinary life, our eating, our drinking, placing it before the Father as that's our reasonable sacrifice. He also showed me praise prepares our hearts for God's word by steering our attention away from our problems back onto his greatness. It readies us to receive what he wants to do in our lives. So it's like when you think about, we're talking about more in a church setting, right? You know how we kind of have the order of service, right? And, you know, usually you got the praise and worship that goes up before the word. It's very important for the praise and the worship to go up before the Lord because it prepares our hearts to receive, especially when a lot of times we come in here bogged down with life, bogged down with just stuff. Just even just this morning, I'm fighting to get here. So I can't imagine that everybody not doing the same thing, you know what I'm saying, throughout the week and just having just a tough time. And you're like, I just got to get there. I just got to, you know, get there. And a lot of times because of the order of the service, the praise and the worship goes forth so that you can lay down what you've come in here with so that you can refocus your attention on the Father and then the word can come forth and speak to all of the things that you came in here to receive. Because there's another thing, like, you know, you think you going through the motion of certain things, but a lot of times we don't position ourselves to receive. You know what I mean? So it's like we come in here and then you leave out the same way you came in. You're like, oh, I mean, it was good, but I mean, I don't, because probably 9 times out of 10, you didn't position yourself to receive. And we're responsible to position our hearts to receive because, you know, there is a place for us, you know, to get fed and be taught the word and how to rightly divide it and, you know, to appropriate the word when we're just kind of reading. Of course, we're going to read the word ourselves, but it's another thing when somebody who's studied, you know, to a certain degree that can help us decipher what's, you know, what's what in the word so that we can receive and apply it to our everyday life. You know what I mean? That's worship. Another aspect he showed me in that time was when we lift our hands, it's a sign of surrender, right? I say that often, even when I'm up here in worship, I always kind of lift your hands. It's a sign of surrender. And I often think of it as, you know, how you ever watch movies and when the bad guy is caught, right, they always be like, right? There was, you got me. Put your guns down. You know what I mean? Like, you think of it like that's a, you know, it's a sign of like, I've given up. You know what I'm saying? I surrender, right? But in our case, you know what I'm saying, as a believer, when I lift my hands as a sign of surrender, it's actually me taking my hands off of the situation. And this is the position of winning. Right? It's like and I often even challenge people because sometimes it's hard to take your hands off a thing when you want to be in control of it. Right? So sometimes, like, when you come in and you're, you know, like, it's like maybe the person up here is like, lift your hands, you know, and you're like, you know, because you're like, kind of like, I'm kind of too cool for this, you know, not, no, right? Or, you know what I mean, I think it's tough just because we are so multifaceted beings, and we want to be, the Lord has made us so wonderfully, we're so gifted, you know what I mean, in ways, and we know so many different ways around things, you know. Because we feel like, I got this, I can do this. I figured out a lot of things. I know so much, you know what I mean? So we don't want to fully take our hands off the situation. You know, we like, I'm going to kind of take it off. Right? But there's something about when you're fully extended, right, which is full freedom. Like, there's nothing I can really do if my hands are here. Right? And I oftentimes tell people to kind of like practice doing that, right? There's a thing called practicing the presence, right? Where a lot of times, you know, for people, I always tell them, like, when I wasn't raised in the church. When I came to the church, and because I was in the world, I mean, you know, was an entertainer, you know what I mean, in the world. So I knew stage. I know how to get people to do stuff. You know, lift your hands, wave your hands in the air. You know what I'm saying? And everybody's like, right? It's weird. It's like an art. But I remember telling the Lord that I told him if he didn't train me to do this, I wouldn't do it. Because I didn't want to do it wrong. Does that make sense? Like, I don't know why that was in me that way, but I knew there was a reverence, you know what I'm saying, for this. And I told him, if he didn't train me to do this, I wouldn't do it. So he trained me in my closet. So I really had no example, you know what I mean, of how to be a praise leader. You know what I mean? What are you supposed to say? Do you lift your hands? Do you quote scripture? How do you do it? You know what I mean? That's not how he trained me. You know what I mean? I got trained in my closet, you know what I mean, and spending time with him. But I practiced the presence in my closet. So in that time with him, this is where I learned the extending of your hands is a sign of surrender and freedom. You know what I mean? So I want you guys to stand up real quick, and I just want you to extend your hands. And I mean like fully, so not like here, you know what I mean? I want you like fully extended, like your entire body is open and you are prepared to be covered, or you're prepared to be lifted, or you're prepared to be surrounded, you know what I mean? Like where you have no control, put it that way, where all your control is to the Father. I'm releasing my control. I'm going to put all the control on you. You're going to do this. Hallelujah. I mean, look at that. Even just a fully extended arms can shift a room, and you haven't said a thing. Thank you, Lord. All right, you can sit down. You can be seated. Now, we know in the midst of a storm, instead of us reacting to the circumstance, we respond with praise and thanksgiving. So you ever, you know, just like in church, there were just always things I just didn't understand. So I always took things back to the Father, like in my practicing the presence time, you know what I mean? And I would ask him, you know, certain things like, why when I feel like crap and I feel like this is all some bull, why do I still have to give thanks? I was confused by that. You know what I mean? And some people may think that that's questioning God, or you know, they may be all deep about it. Like, you don't question the Lord. He said, give thanks in all things. So give thanks, you know? But I was like, I don't feel well. How do I give thanks? You know? But he showed me that in giving thanks, again, it repositions your heart, refocuses your heart on him, refocuses you on he's provided all things, he's going to take care of all things. You refer back to the scripture, you know what I mean? I've already taken care of you. In your mother's womb, I knew you. All of the things that, you know, that we go through and come up in our minds, like, oh, that's why we give thanks. So that I don't focus on, you know, the battle that he's already won. Does that make sense? That's worship. If I can get like 10 volunteers, real quick, 10 people, don't everybody move at once. Look at all these people. 10 volunteers. Can you real quick? So I want you to kind of be right here in the center. And I want 5 people to surround her, basically. There's 5 people surround her. Is that 5? Okay. So she is going through a hard time. Okay? She's got a lot going on, all right? And so what the enemy likes to do is he likes to make us think that this ring around here, around her, that this is him. That's how he tries to make us think that we're surrounded by him. But really, now you guys surround them. Now really, who's surrounding her now is actually the Father, and the enemy is on the outside. Right? So he makes us think that we're surrounded by him, but he's the one actually surrounded. Does that make sense? So it's like, even when you think, it goes back to this scripture, 2 Kings 16 through 17. That's when Elijah asked the Lord to open up the servant's eyes so that he could see those that are with us are more than those that are with them. Right? So we think a lot of times, and even, I mean, from every aspect of life, we really think the enemy is breathing down our necks like this. You know what I mean? And he's like, I'm kind of visual. You know what I mean? So like when I think about, like when I'm having a hard time, I feel like the enemy is like, or maybe I watch too much movies, right? But I felt like he's like, yeah, I'm gonna take you down today, right? But really, he's out here. So I want you to do this. Yeah, I'm gonna take you. Yeah. Right? So dude, like, yeah, I'm gonna take you down today. Just the whole outside. Just say, yeah, I'm gonna take you down today. Right? And then the middle guy, you guys connect hands. Yeah. And so this is really what it looked like. Y'all see that? That's really what it looks like. Like legit. But we don't think, like, we really don't think it looks like that. But if we would allow the Father to ask and the Father open up my eyes so that I can see who's with me versus the them who thinks that they can come in and try to kill, steal, and destroy. But he's like, really? Yeah, I've already got you surrounded. They really can't harm you. Like, I remember, you guys can sit down. I remember asking the Lord, like, I remember asking him, like, Lord, during this time, I was asking him, like, Lord, if I'm dying, because I feel anybody who's experienced panic attacks, or if you felt the effects of, you know, just not sleeping, like, your body feels like it's a slow death. I hate to say it like that, right? You just feel like you're dying slow. And I would ask the Lord, I say, Lord, if I'm dying, you need to speed this up. That's literally what I told him, just straight up, because I didn't like it. And I'm like, hey, if it's time for me to go, I'd rather you just go and get me out of here quick, and I don't want to do this. But he reassured me that it may look like you're surrounded. It looks like the enemy is breathing down your neck. But he, in fact, has the enemy surrounded. And he told me, the enemy cannot kill you. He cannot touch you. He only has the access that you give him. So if you give him access into your life, into your world, into your things, then he begins to suggest these things and suggest that this and suggest that. But even still, he still don't have the power to take you out of here. But he tries to make us think that he can. And in the time of the practicing the presence, which I suggest that everyone does, is practice being in the presence of the Father. Because when there is healing in the presence, there is deliverance in his presence, there is salvation in his presence. You can get saved again and again and again in his presence. You can ask questions in his presence. You can get clarity and reassurance in his presence. There is nothing that is off limits to you when you are in the presence of the Father. And when you're spending time with him on your own time, that when you come into the house of the Lord corporately, there is a different atmosphere that happens here, because you have already prepared yourself that when you get amongst each other and like-minded people, that there is burdens removed, yokes are destroyed in an atmosphere that is fully charged with you being expectation for the Father to do something you haven't seen done before. That's worship. We're all worshipers. It's not just the worship leader up here. and the people behind them. There's a responsibility that we have up here to train and to demonstrate and to be the example that if you're not certain or you're not sure how this goes, you can come here and be like, okay, I lift my hands. Oh, okay, I can kneel before the Father. Okay, it's okay. I can cry if I need to. Oh, it's okay if I can jump up and down or whatever the case. We're here as an example, as a demonstration to lead and to help you get to a place where you're doing this on your own, where it becomes you. So that when you are by yourself and you're going through things and you're having a tough time, or all is well in your world, everything is going well, that's still worship. That's the time when you still give God praise. You give God everything you've got. And then in a time where you feel low, and sometimes we have these days where, you know, the Lord's like, you'll have trials and tribulation. We're not exempt from that. Even though we're believers, you know, we think like, Lord, you got me covered. I'm good. Ain't nothing going to touch me. But the enemy is like, you think you're going to just walk around here and I'm not going to try to take you down because I don't want you to be successful. So I'm going to try to take you out. I've gotten to the point in my life because the enemy has, he always tried to play me, you know what I mean, all the time. And sometimes he uses the same tactics because he's not an innovator. He's a perverter. He's a copycat. He innovates nothing. He creates nothing. So he'll try the same tactics on you to try to take you down. I'm convinced that when I open up my eyes, that there are demonic spirits assigned to me to take me down. I'm all right with that. Because I know there are more surrounding them that have me covered on all sides. That when my eyes open in the morning and breath is blown into my lungs, and when my heart is beating and I'm in my right mind, you don't know the feeling of being in your right mind until you're not in your right mind. And the Lord, this word, the scripture about a sound mind, I never understood that scripture. What the heck is sound mind? What is that? I know now. Your mind is supposed to be sound. You're not supposed to be bombarded with demonic suggestions. Do this, do that. You suck. You're not worthy for this. You're a whore. Look what you did yesterday. Yeah, you suck. Yeah, you're not worthy of that. You probably shouldn't even go today. Yeah, whatever. You this, you that. Or the thoughts of, yeah, you should probably take yourself out. You're pretty much done. Look how embarrassed you are. You've been leading worship all these years, and look now, nervous breakdown. But he didn't know that even in a time when you're walking this thing out and you're with the Father, chaos could be happening all around you. And he can still have you covered under the shadow. And he can dialogue and comfort your heart and be counselor and be provider, be way maker. All of the things, all of the names that he's named, I encountered all of them in the secret place where I wasn't even talking out loud to anyone. That's worship. And this is how we fight. This is how we fight. When you're going through things and stuff is hard, Father, I thank you, Lord. In spite, you've been so good to me. Even though it looks crazy, God, you've been good to me. Sometimes that I can't articulate, you're still good. Even when times get hard, God, you still show up for me. Even when I don't think you're there, God, you're still there for me. You said you'll never leave, you'll never forsake us, you'll never leave us. But you're still good to me. That no matter what I do, God, you're still good to me. And no matter what they've said about me, God, you're still good to me. That even when it's tough, you're still good to me. So I lift my hands, God, because it's a sign of surrender. And I take my hands off so you can put your hands on, God. You're so good to me. And I lift my hands because I practice the presence with you, God, and you teach me how to do this, God, because you're so good to me. It doesn't have to be a melody. It can be a melody if you want. If you can't sing, that's fine. He doesn't care. It can be, you're still good, God. You're so good. Thank you, Father, that even though my body doesn't feel well, God, I thank you that you've already gone before me. That even when I don't feel well, God, you're still good to me because you've already gone before me. That's worship. And it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. And every chance I get, I always remind the enemy that he's a defeated foe. And I tell him often, you have no right to trespass on holy ground. I often remind him, you're outnumbered here, so you must leave. And you have to get a revelation that when you open up your mouth and you speak the word out, that he must flee. That is in the word. That worship steals the enemy. That praise and worship confuses the enemy because they can't understand or fathom how you can be in such a rut and you can still say, Father, I thank you that even in the midst of a storm, you're good. Imagine that. Imagine that. Here's my challenge as I close. I challenge you to begin to practice the presence of God. This is where you get your breakthrough. This is where you become in charge. This is where you operate in your authority. The same power that raised Christ from the dead resides on the inside of you. So he cannot come against you and you not have a weapon to unleash on him when he does. Because anytime that you are positioning yourself to follow the Lord, anytime that you have dedicated your life and you're like, you know what? I'm about to live the best I can live out here. I'm about to do everything I need to do. The enemy is standing around seeking whom he may devour to take out. But you are so equipped just from opening up your mouth. Even if you don't know the scripture or the words, you can just open up your mouth and say, God, you've been good to me. give you my life. You've been good to me. At least until you get into the point where you're in the word and you start guarding yourself with the word, the sword. You start guarding yourself with the scriptures. You know what I'm saying? Like, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. No, you know what I'm saying? No enemy can come near my dwelling. You know what I mean? Like when you start and you're able to, you know what I'm saying, to go, he must flee. I'm telling you. I've seen it. I've felt it. I'm not telling you something that I don't know. It's something that I do every moment. Not, I'm talking about second by second. Sometimes it's second by second. Because I'm convinced the enemy wants to take me out. I'm all right with that. I'm cool with that. And I kind of let him know because he knows I'm not afraid of him. So come with what you're going to come with. Because I got something for you already. So I'm telling you, practice the presence in your personal time. That's where we win. That's worship. Thank you.